being better. Thank you. Thank you. If you believe that, that not one word's changed, go ahead and say amen right there. Brother Matt, I'm looking for somebody that believes not one word's changed. Pray for us. Thank you. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free. Free of charge. Now, we've been trying to start the book of Genesis, trying to start the Bible, start over in the Bible again. And we've been talking about creation. And I always knew that when we get to heaven, we'll be praising the Lord for redemption. Let's look at that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I knew that was going to happen, but I forgot something. Way before that, back in chapter 4, verse 11, look at here. We just got there in chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 11, here's what we're doing. We're saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? For thou hast created all things. There won't be anyone preaching evolution when we get to heaven.
Right.
Here's what they're going to be saying. They're going to be saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Even in chapter 10. Let's go over to chapter 10. The angels believe that. The angels believe God created everything. In chapter 10, verse 6, angels talking in verse 5, verse 6, "And the angels swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer." When we get to heaven, there's not going to be anyone preaching evolution.
Right.
It won't happen. They're going to be Bible believers, and everybody's going to know that God created everything. Yeah. Now, Genesis chapter 1, pick some volunteers, unbiased, innocent bystanders in the congregation, and they're going to help me. I'm going to try to read chapter 1, and I have one volunteer that's going to count how many times the name of God is used. And then there's another volunteer that's going to count how many times the word good is used. And then somebody's going to be counting how many times it says after his kind. And then somebody else is going to be counting the ands. That's a lot. I picked the smartest one to count the ands. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That's the first quoted words that God said in the Bible. Let there be. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Every time God said it, it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And you'll never believe what happened. The earth brought forth grass. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, verse 11, and it did. It happened just like he said. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. And I just think it's great right there. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, the cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. 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 And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Properly read, that's Genesis chapter 1. How many times is God named? Who was that volunteer? How many times was God?
32.
Okay, 32. 31 verses, God's in it 32 times. How about good? Who had good? How many times was good?
Seven
times, God's perfect number. That last time is very good. Very good. How about after his kind? 10 times? Who had it? Sister Angie. 10 times after his kind. Listen, you'll never buy an alligator farm and raise Black Angus. It'll be after his kind every time. It happens every time. There is no evidence anywhere that anything ever changed kind. You can't have a duck farm and raise chickens. It just won't happen. It's going to be after his kind. Nothing changed to another kind. Never, never, never. How about and? Who had and?
90.
How? 90. 90 times. That's about an average of 3 times to a verse. In English, that's improper. But the Bible trumps English. God can do it however He wants to. God uses this method to slow us down and pay attention. Almost like a Selah, a pause, and think about it in Psalms over there. It shows precision. Precision. It happens also in chapter 22 and then over in Luke 15. That's not the only time. Now in verse 26, we run into the Trinity. One Creator God in 3 persons. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Who's He talking to? Talking to Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You talk to yourself, you're not so bad off.
Yeah.
Not so bad off. I told you, I went by Brother Melvin the other day. He's talking to himself, and then he said, huh? In Genesis 1:1, we see the Creator Father. In the beginning, God, Jehovah, created the heaven and the earth. Let's look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 13. Well, 12, you see the Father. 13, the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Anybody been delivered? Have you been delivered?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. And hath translated us, changed so you'd be useful, like from Greek to English. You know, a Greek Bible would be absolutely useless to me. I could get nothing out of it. But God translated us so we'd be useful. So others could understand us. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, capital S Son, in whom, that's His dear Son, we have redemption through His, that's His dear Son's blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, that's His dear Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, that's His dear Son, of every creature. For by Him, that's His dear Son, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, that's His dear Son, and for Him, that's His dear Son. So the Father, He had a hand in creation. And the Son, He had a hand in creation. Also in Genesis 1:26, we already read, let us make man. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made man. There the Spirit's the Creator. And also in Job 26, let's look at that. By His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens, and His hand hath formed a crooked serpent. So the Spirit also is a co-creator. In Genesis 1:1, God tells us what He did. The rest of the chapter, in chapter 2, He tells us how He did it. And. In Genesis 2:1, let's look at that. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Well, how many heavens, Brother Rick? Well, I'm glad you asked. How about, let's look at Daniel 4. Verse 11 and 12. The tree grew and was strong and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. So the first heaven is where the birds fly, where the trees point up. All the trees point to God. The second heaven, let's look at it in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, starting in 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines going out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the S-U-N, which is as a bridegroom, a S-O-N, coming out of H-I-S chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man. The S-U-N is like a strong man, like a bridegroom to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Every 24 hours there's a new sermon preached. The sun comes up, preaches a brand new sermon every 24 hours. Good. 2 Corinthians 12:2. At night the stars, every night they preach a brand new sermon every night. And you don't have to go to language school to get it. Just got to believe it. 2 Corinthians 12:2. That was the second heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven, that's where God lives. It's where God lives. Amen. Now, on your handout, you have a chart, a genealogy chart. Genealogies in Genesis. That's a tongue twister. Genealogies show generations and families and biographies of individuals. And I found this chart in two different places. J. Vernon McGee had it and Abeka had it. And I just copied it out. Let's look at that first one, Genesis 1. To 2:4, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, these are the generations of heaven and earth. Now, they made this chart every time you find this phrase, these are the generations. Chapter 5, verse 1, let's look at that. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And then in chapter 6, you got the generations of Noah and 10 and 11, the generations of the sons of Noah, and that includes Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then in chapter 11, you have the generations of Terah. Now, I added this, that bold print, and I wanted you to know it. Maybe I shouldn't have put it in the chart. I maybe should have put it down below. It would have been the same thing. But I just wanted you to know they don't have that because the phrase, the generations of Abraham's not in the Bible. It comes close, but it don't say it. Brother Rick said that. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Don't change your Bible. I just, their chart. It's the chart I'm correcting, not the Bible. But anyway, the reason I put that in there, I want you to know that starting in Genesis 12:1, when God calls Abraham out, the rest of the Bible is about Abraham. I just want you to think. It doesn't say it that way. It doesn't say these are the generations of Abraham. But let's look here in... Now, Terah, his daddy, only gets like seven verses or something. He's only in the Bible 11 times. Matter of fact, when Joshua talks about him, he says this is Terah, the father of Abraham. I'm just saying Abraham is much more important. Let's look at Matthew 1:1. I watched some podcasts recently, and I think I told you all about them. You might want to go watch them. It's the name of them's One for Israel, O-N-E for Israel. And it's got these five-minute podcasts where a Jewish person, a Hebrew person, got saved. And more than one of them said, if you want to witness to a Jew, the way to do it is go to Matthew 1:1. They don't know that the New Testament is a Jewish book. They don't know that. But that's what the Jews said on that podcast. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Hey, that's better than any of them right there. That's got everything. The son of David, the son of Abraham. See, when we get to the New Testament, God's still talking about Abraham. Matter of fact, over in, let's go over to Revelation 7:4. Revelation 7:4, and I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I know Israel's another name for Jacob, and sometimes it talks about the man, sometimes the nation, but nevertheless, Jacob came out of Abraham. Father Abraham's what they call it. And I just wanted you to know that Abraham's in there, and matter of fact, Adam, I went ahead and looked these up. Adam, anyone want to guess how many times Adam's in the Bible? The name, the word, anybody know? Okay, I'll tell you. How about, I thought it was a whole lot. It said 30. 30 times is what I found. Noah's 53, Shem 17, Ham 17, Japheth 11. I know you're probably not interested in this. Terah 11, Abraham 309. See, the whole book's a Jewish book. We're in debt to the Jew for our Bible and our Savior. We owe them a lot. Ishmael 46, Isaac, this is the rest of your chart here. Isaac 130, Esau 100, Jacob 350, Joseph 250. But guess what? Israel is, the word Israel's in the Bible 2,319 times. The first 11 chapters in Genesis, we're introducing the book of Genesis is what we're doing. The first 11 chapters up to the Tower of Babel, consumes 2,000 years. If you remember your time chart, there's only 6,000 years of human history. Start right now and go back to the cross is 2,000 years. Back to the Tower of Babel is 2,000 B.C. And the Garden of Eden is 4,000 B.C. From the garden to the tower is 2,000 years. And it's 2,000 years from the tower up to the New Testament. I'm just going to let that sink in a little bit. This is stuff I hadn't thought much about. Maybe you hadn't either. From chapter 12 in Genesis to the end of Genesis 50 is 350 years. So that leaves 1,650 years from Genesis to the New Testament. What's your point, Brother Rick? Well, here's it. Don't miss it. God's more interested in you and Abraham than the rest of the universe. That's right. God's more interested in you and Abraham than He is the rest of the universe. He spends more time on it. Here's another proof if you don't believe that. You're looking at me like you never heard that before, like a calf looking at a new gate. Y'all ought to be looking back that way sometime. In the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 89 chapters. Four chapters are given to the first 30 years of Christ's life. Four chapters. 85 chapters to the last 3 years, leading up to the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection is more important than all the rest. That's what the Lord's trying to tell us.
Yeah.
He's bringing Israel back to the homeland. And he's interested in you getting saved. He's interested in them getting saved. We just come through the revelation that showed that the tribulation was for Israel and other lost people. I just read a thing the other day. I guess I read it. And I guess it's true. I don't really know this. But it said all prophecy is about Israel. That's what it said. Okay, on your handout, there's five kinds of births. Adam was born without a father or a mother. Eve was born without a mother. Christ was born without a father. Everybody else gets a father and a mother both. And you could also get in on a new birth, which came from above. It's available for all, whosoever will. It's through the Son, it's by the Spirit, and it's to the Father.
Yeah.
You can get in on it today if you want to. The big homecoming that was praying about there a while ago. Somebody was. Now, Brother Clark told me the other day, he said, look, you're starting Genesis, and that teacher on Thursday night, at the beginning of every semester, tells us about the 10 stages in the Bible. He said, why don't you go through that? And I said, okay, it's on your handout, and I won't do it like he does. But the reason for these 10 stages in the Bible is this here on this paper. You might want to keep that. I might quiz you as we go through. This chart's in chronological order, and your Bible's not in chronological order. That's why he says he explains it. 10 stages through the Bible. Stage number one is the beginning. We just talked about that. That's Genesis 1 through 11. It includes creation, the flood, and the tower. Questions so far? You're doing good. Stage 2 is the Hebrew fathers. That's the rest of Genesis. Chapter 12 to 50 includes Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes, and Joseph, the Savior of the world. Now, he saved the physical world, the Joseph in the Old Testament, saved the physical world from famine by taking his family down into Egypt. A picture of the Savior of the world in the New Testament, Jesus, that saves us spiritually. Saves us out of Egypt, actually. Stage number 3, he calls it the Exodus stage. It includes the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses leads them out. He uses the 10 commandments and 40 years of wandering to get Egypt out of the people. Didn't take as long to get them out of Egypt as it did to get the Egypt out of them. And men, you're the same way. You're catching on. Good. The stage 4, the promised land, the book of Joshua. And Joshua leads across Jordan, around Jericho, to the end where no one's leading. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes, which is, guess what? Wrong. Yes. The worst thing Brother Rick can do is go his own way. Go his own way. I need a guide. My conscience doesn't work very good. I need a guide. And the Lord made sure I got it. They sang about it, and not one word has changed. Let's look at Deuteronomy 12 and make sure. Another little tidbit, fun fact to know and tell about the book of Deuteronomy. I just learned going to college on Thursday nights. Did you know the events in the book of Deuteronomy all happened in one month? That's what he said. That's what he said. Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, verse 8. Ye shall not. God said, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do what you've been doing this day. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, where every man, whatsoever is right in his own eyes. That's what I'm not supposed to do. I'm supposed to go by this. I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help. Brother Rick is wicked. He needs a lot of help. Stage number 5, the judges. This includes 3 books. Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel up through chapter 7. And Deuteronomy's really taken hold here. And the judges are military leaders like Samson, Gideon, and Samuel. But that's not enough. The people whine and they ask for a king. So we go into stage 6, the kingdom age, the kingdom age. That includes 1 Samuel chapter 8 to the end, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, most of Psalms, Proverbs, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. The kingdom age, stage 6, has three phases. Number one is the single kingdom. That happened when King Saul was there, one king. David, one king. Solomon, one king. It was through those three reigns. And then Solomon has a wicked son, Rehoboam, who causes a civil war. And the nation is divided north and south. The northern kingdom is run by the unwise Rehoboam. And the southern kingdom is Judah. And Jeroboam, by the way, which is a general of Solomon. That's not his two sons. One of them's a general. Phase 3, then, the surviving kingdom. The wicked northern Israel taken captive by Assyria. And the southern Judah has several good kings and experiences several revivals and lasts another 100 years before being carried off by Babylon. Then stage 7 is the exile. That includes the books of Daniel and Ezekiel. It's bondage in Babylon. Daniel preaches to the crown. He's in the king's court. And Ezekiel preaches to the common people during this stage. Stage 8, restoration, includes the books of Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. After 70 years in exile, the people return to God, and God allows them to return to Israel and rebuild. And then 400 years of silence. No Bible. God doesn't speak to the prophets. There's no Bible written for 400 years. That's 8 stages in the Old Testament, 2 in the New. The first, number 9, the first one in the New Testament, the Messiah gets here. He's been promised all down through. The coming of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the promised Savior from Genesis 3:15, and the gospel, like we said, the all-important gospel that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Now, the last chapter of every one of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the gospel. And then also in Acts chapter 1 is why it's in the Great Commission here. Number 10, this is us. Acts to Revelation. It's what we do through Sunday school, actually Romans to Revelation. And we see the church reaching and teaching. Reaching the lost and teaching the saved. What do they teach them, Brother Rick? They're teaching them your reliable historical documents that came from God. And the eyewitnesses wrote it down, the supernatural events. I think we've got time for this. The professor and the student. Professor asked the class, he said, did God create everything that exists? One brave student said, yes, he did. Then God created evil. Since evil exists, answered the professor, quite pleased with himself. Another student raised his hand. He said, can I ask a question? Of course, the professor said. He said, Professor, does cold exist? Of course cold exists. You've never been cold? And the whole class snickers. In fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we call cold is the absence of heat. Absolute zero, a negative 460 degrees, is the total absence of heat. We've created the word cold to describe how we feel in the absence of heat. The student said, Professor, does darkness exist? Of course it does, the professor said. Once again, sir, you're wrong. Darkness does not exist. In reality, darkness is the absence of light. Light we can study, but we can't study darkness. We use Newton's prism to break the light, white light into colors and study the wavelengths of the colors. You cannot measure darkness. How do we know how dark a room is? You measure how much light is present. Dark describes a room when no light's present. Student again, sir, does evil exist? Well, of course, I already said it did, the professor said. Actually, sir, evil does not exist. Evil is simply the absence of God. Evil's a word man's invented to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. When God, faith, and love are absent from the heart, evil happens. The professor sat down. The young man was Albert Einstein. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.